In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Do we trust that God will provide? Today, in the first Sunday of Lent, we follow Jesus into the desert. And this is the place where in three separate Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus begins his ministry. Jesus first was baptized, and the clouds open, and this voice booms down out of the clouds from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." And then God, in the form of the Holy Spirit, leads Jesus out into the desert where he's tempted for 40 days. Jesus is our exemplar of being in right relationship with God. And it's in the desert that we have an example of what threatens to both test and strengthen our right relationship with God. In the desert, the tempter comes first and says, "Provide for yourself." Jesus responds, "God is the provider." And so then the tempter responds, "Well, let me see how this God provides for you." And Jesus responds, "My faith means I don't have to put God to the test." And finally the tempter says, "Okay, then let me provide for you. I'll give you everything you could ever want." And that's when Jesus finally replies, "Nope, get away from me." And the scripture says that it's then that the angels come and tend to all of Jesus' needs. Do we trust that God will provide? And what do we trust that God will provide? Many Christians take on some kind of discipline during these 40 days of Lent, either fasting or some form of prayer, taking something on that we strive to do each day. For the past several months, the dean of our diocesan cathedral has invited clergy to study with their rabbi in residence. This rabbi was interested in exploring the nature of fasting with us this past week. He told us a story about a time when he was involved in a student movement of fasting to show solidarity for hostages in a Middle Eastern country. Each day until the hostages were released, 40 American Jews committed to a day of fasting. No water, no food. 40 people each day for as long as it took. And the fasting made a difference. And he said that the reason was that the authorities who ultimately released the hostages found out that Americans were giving up food and water. These Middle Easterners had this preconceived notion of Americans and their gluttonous consumerism. They imagined that in a land where you had everything you wanted, then why would you ever give it up? And they were stunned that in a nation with such plenty, people were giving up food and water for the sake of other human beings. And the hostages were released. Fasting during Lent has its roots in a seasonal necessity. We're nearing the end of winter. It's when storage cellars in times past and in times all over the world grow sparse. And in most times and places, fasting wasn't and hasn't been an option. It's just a necessity. It's something that's imposed. And in fasting, people come to a stark understanding that it's God who makes food to spring up from the land as the ground thaws and Easter comes each year and the planting season returns. In the conversation with the rabbi, it continued. He shared that he wondered that when Christians give things up, like meat or chocolate or alcohol? Are we actually fasting? Or are we just replacing one thing for something else? Like if we give up meat, are we rushing to Burger King to fill up on the Impossible Burger?
No.
Hopefully not. You're right, Olivia. Good listening. What's the point of our fasting? Are we trusting that God will provide? Or are we simply providing for ourselves? One of Calvary's members shared with me recently and gave me permission to share with you about how he grew up in a church with the understanding that if you believed in God and lived the right way, then you'd be rewarded materially. It's a common way of believing and understanding faith. It even has a name. It's called the prosperity gospel. Well, this church member went as a young 20-something for a summer in Burkina Faso. And while he was there, he encountered intense poverty, which he expected to encounter. And he also expected that along with the extreme material lacking, that he would find misery among the people. And instead, he encountered profound joy. He found that these people, in spite of their poverty, were filled with the wealth of love and joy and peace. And it sent his entire faith life into a crisis. If being rewarded isn't the goal, then what is? There's a devotional calendar that's floating around this year with scripture verses sprinkled throughout, and it has the following Bible verse listed on July 3rd. You can check your calendars and make sure it's not yours. It says, "I will give you all things if you fall down and worship me." Matthew 4:9. It falls right in line with that message of prosperity that many Christians in this country subscribe to. And the problem is, well, look back at that gospel and look at that line. It points out the problem with cherry-picking scriptures verse by verse for inspiration, taking them out of context. And someone made that mistake at that devotional publishing house. All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Words straight from the mouth of the devil. The good news today is that God will provide. And the challenging news today is that God provides what we need, not what we want. And we have an important call as believers in the good news to be faithful in trusting in God's provision and actively turning away from the temptation to rely on ourselves for our provision. What exactly are we seeking when we're consuming the hamburgers, the chocolate, and the alcohol that we give up for 40 days? What's the hole we're trying to fill? We have this image of an abundant garden in the lesson from Genesis this morning, in the Garden of Eden. I like to imagine that God has granted each person a garden. Each of us, from us in the abundant United States to a joyful, poor child in Burkina Faso, God has provided each of us with everything we need. Now, God said in Genesis, "You may eat freely of any tree in the garden," but God said, "Don't eat from that tree in the center of the garden." For Adam and Eve, at the center of their garden was the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Perhaps a spiritual question for each of us this morning is, what's at the center of your garden? What garners the bulk of your attention week in and week out? Most likely it's something that has the power to pull you away from God and who God really made you to be. The thing about that passage from Genesis is God has already created each of us in God's image. The thing about the downfall of Adam and Eve was that they decided that being created in God's image wasn't enough. They wanted more. They wanted to be God. And in that desire to be God, they fell away from the wonder of the original blessing and found themselves in their own shadow. What would it take for you to trust that God will provide? I think that second temptation is so great in our American culture, where the devil says, provide for yourself. Most of us have been taught that the only way is our way. We have to go and try to fix it, to provide it, to pull up our bootstraps and make it happen. But Jesus' response is clear. God will provide. And Jesus continues on, no food, no drink in the desert. This is perhaps one of our greatest spiritual challenges as people with little need, but many wants. To trust that God already is providing everything we need. So how are we to proceed? In these 40 days, we have a chance to draw nearer to God. And we could take on a fast and wind up only filling our time with acceptable substitutes. Impossible burgers for hamburgers. Or we could take time in the course of our fast, of our spiritual discipline, to focus our thoughts and actions back to God. And along the way, it might cause us to rediscover or to stunningly discover anew who God actually is. As you enter into this season, as you seek God and trust God and the struggles arise, because if you're doing it, they will. Remember that while Jesus went into the desert alone, Jesus wasn't left alone in the desert. Angels came and tended to him. Surrounding you on your journey are your priests, your fellow church members, other faithful people you might know who might become the angels you need to tend to you on your desert journey, to give you the support and the sustenance you need while you're discovering where you're at with God, where you're discovering who you understand God to be once again. God will provide. And the good news is that God's provision is beyond our wants and beyond our fears, and we'll be led through the desert into life. We can trust that. Amen.